are we resentful and do we live life at a frantic pace, out of balance with the people and the resources that God has entrusted to our care? Balance is a matter of economics. And that comes from the Greek word oikos, which means household. How do we manage our household? And the household in this understanding is everything that's been given to us. How do we take everything that's been given to us, the people living in our household, how do we take care of ourselves, the resources that we have to offer our local and global communities, the gifts that we have, our time, our passions, our possessions, our relationships, what our education has brought to us, our creativity, our work. How are we managing our household, all these gifts that we have been given for the glory of God? Because it is important for all of us to remember that all that you have and all that you are is merely on loan to you for a time. It's on loan to you. Your house is on loan to you. You know, I realized in baptism when I gave each of my kids back to God that my kids were just given on loan to me from God, right? And I was to give them back to God. Everything is on loan to us for a time. Jesus gives us a big clue how we are to balance this household, this life, this one life on loan to us, when he offers the summary of a couple thousands of years. If you can imagine, they are coming actually to trick him, some of the leaders, because they figure they can get away with it. And they're asking him a very difficult question. And I'd like us to read this together where we get some clues on how to do this. When the Pharisees heard neighbors in your block that might not be right around you, but you see them walking. These neighbors, it's interesting the way we kind of divide this. When Jesus talked about neighbor, for the Jew, the neighbor was the fellow Jew, the people that kind of lived in community with them, which is the other neighbor we're going to talk about, the people closest to us. But when they were asking Jesus, who is my neighbor? He tells this story of the Good Samaritan, right? This man that nobody even knew and how they cared about him. So it made neighbor anybody, anybody and everybody. Okay, so the second question would be, how do we love our neighbor in the world? How do we love that person that is more of an acquaintance?
plan your downtime.
I'm saying?
Plan your downtime.
Plan your downtime, right? So that you have some time in the schedule where you just, this is the one I'm worst at. By the way, a lot of women are bad at this because we're told that it's our job to keep everything even keel. It's our job. And by the time you have your workplace even keel and your family even keel and your house keel, how much time is left? You're in the hole, right? So for women, this is often incredibly difficult to do. But when you're taking care of yourself, Keith called me to this when I was a young mom of three kids under four. And he said, if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be taking care of them. I said, oh, but I'm at the office and I'm trying to get this done. When I'm home, I got all this stuff to do. And he said, Sue, take care of yourself. They're watching. And I didn't take as good a care of myself as I should. And one of my kids, I told them one time, this is when they were older, they were adolescents, and this is a very sad day for me. I said to them, I'm going to do this. Why are you doing this? And I said, because I need to take care of myself. And they said, yeah, you do, Mom. You don't take care of yourself. That's a sad statement. Because what were they learning? Not to take care of themselves. That's what moms do. They take care of everybody else, but they don't take care of themselves.
As I grow older, realized that I have ignored my passion far too long in my life, and I would advise everyone, especially younger people, find your passion and follow that. Do it. It's not being selfish. You will fulfill yourself in ways that are just incredible.
And it's honoring a God-given gift. Your passions are God-given to you.
Well, that line to Dave's comment. Mission statement. To really talk about why they're alive, what they want to do, what they want to accomplish, what are their passions and what are the people they would care for, et cetera, et cetera.
So a wonderful tool is to develop a mission statement. Who do you want to be? Here's a way to get at your mission statement. If somebody was writing an epitaph on your gravestone, what would you want it to say? What would you want your legacy to be? That's your mission statement. Right? What do you want your life to be about? And if this is what you want your life to be about, what are you doing to make that come true now? Does that make sense? Okay, so what I want to talk about now with you is that I want you to determine what balance looks like for you. And by the way, balance does not look the same for any two people. Number one, it's not 6, 6, 6, and 6, right? It's not dividing your 24-hour day into four equal sections. But what it does mean is that you have to determine what that balance looks like for you. And I can guarantee you that there's a lot of people who would love to give you a little insight into that. You're not spending enough time with. You need to, right? Who can determine balance for you? You. It's a conversation between you and God, because only you and God know what all is on your plate. Okay? So you have to figure out what that is and what that looks like. And it takes a lot of prayer and it takes some trial and error before we actually kind of attain that balance. You can't determine balance for another. You can ask somebody, you know, do you think I'm out of balance? They'll tell you. And where do you think I'm out of balance? They'll tell you. That doesn't necessarily mean they're right, but it might be helpful insight to you, especially people that know you well. But I want to talk to you about some of the things that call us away from balance. Because most of us, when we've been in balance, we know it. Time flies when we're in balance. But I can't say strongly enough how challenging it can be to find this right balance in our life and then to keep it. Because the devil does his best work not by tempting us with the obviously evil, but with the apparently good. What I mean by that is, I have set aside, let's say, this half hour for quiet time. The devil doesn't say, oh, why don't you go clean your car instead? No. David comes in to me and says, hey, Sue, can we go to Long Acres? Yeah. Right? You get the idea? The devil isn't going to tempt you away from that balance with something that's not appealing. I have to divide that between serving her neighbor and serving God and give 50-50. Does that make sense? Okay. So you're going to do this for the next week, but before you start this, take the top here and give yourself a little guesstimate of just how much of your time you think you're giving to God, how much of your time you think you're giving to yourself, how much of your time you think you're giving to neighbor, so that you can kind of say, am I deceiving myself by the end of the week, or am I really, that's pretty much how my time is being spent. Does that make sense? On the back, what you have here is a daily total. So you're going to total, and then you're going to be able to figure out your percents. I can't urge you strongly enough to do this, and I also can't urge you strongly enough to not alter it. I.e., you haven't devoted for years, and this week you're going to take 3 hours every day to start devoting to God, okay? Because the only person you're really deceiving is yourself. So try to take an honest look at your week and do this, and then that will give you a very good idea, hopefully, of kind of how your balance is living out and what may or may not need to change. So don't feed your ego on that, okay? Because your ego will want you to think that you are way better at this balance than you are. Keith. So you can only put so much on. anybody know how long it takes to establish a new pattern? At least 90 days. Okay, so if you say, I want to start, you know, I'm really lacking in time with God, and I'm going to start having a morning devotional, and I'm going to start with maybe 15 minutes reading and just being still and being quiet. If you're going to do that, don't plan on doing that for a week and thinking that's going to keep happening. Until you've done that for, research shows, 90 days, you will probably not keep doing it. Okay? Next. I think it's very hard to go this alone. I think it's much easier to do this when you have an accountability partner or partners. Years ago, I decided that I really needed to take care of my physical body as a part of self-care, and I wasn't exercising, and I was heading into osteoporosis. So I called dear Linda Brown, and we agreed, wherever she is, to be walking buddies. I would not be getting up at 6:30 to walk if I didn't know that Linda was going to be there waiting at 7:15 for us to walk. So an accountability partner is very helpful sometimes in doing this. And then, laziness. Have you ever just said, forget it, it's just not worth it. You just go lazy, you go rogue. It's just kind of like, this isn't worth it. I'm just going to go back to the way it was. So be careful that laziness doesn't creep in. Scott Peck says the opposite of love is laziness. So be careful. The other thing that I've provided you for reflection this week as you're thinking about balance is this second little sheet. And this is meant for you to take into some quiet time. And it basically says to you, how do you think you're doing in these? Number two, people can bring some of the food. You don't have to make it all yourself. Number three, Sue, your house doesn't have to be spick and span. Have people to your house. Just let them come and see how you naturally live. Like, all these ideas started coming to me. Well, what I love